So since there's only 10 verses, we're going to go ahead and read all 10. So the king and Haman came to banquet with Esther the queen. And the king said again unto Esther on the second day at the banquet of wine, "What is thy petition, Queen Esther? And it shall be granted thee. And what is thy request? And it shall be performed, even to the half of the kingdom." Then Esther the queen answered and said, "If I have found favor in thy sight, O king, and if it please the king, let my life be given me at my petition, and my people at my request. For we are sold, I and my people, to be destroyed, to be slain, and to perish. But if we had been sold for bondmen and bondwomen, I had held my tongue, although the enemy could not countervail the king's damage." Then the king, Ahasuerus, answered and said unto Esther the queen, "Who is he, and where is he, that durst presume in his heart to do so?" And Esther said, "The adversary and enemy is this wicked Haman." Then Haman was afraid before the king and the queen. And the king, arising from the banquet of wine in his wrath, went into the palace garden. And Haman stood up to make request for his life to Esther the queen, for he saw that there was evil determined against him by the king. Then the king returned out of the palace garden into the place of the banquet of wine, and Haman was fallen upon the bed whereon Esther was. Then said the king, "Will he force the queen also before me in the house?" As the word went out of the king's mouth, they covered Haman's face. And Harbona, one of the chamberlains, said before the king, "Behold also, the gallows 50 cubits high, which Haman had made for Mordecai, who had spoken good for the king, standeth in the house of Haman." Then the king said, "Hang him thereon." So they hanged Haman on the gallows that he had prepared for Mordecai. Then was the king's wrath pacified. The Lord being our helper today, we'd like to bring our sermon on this particular thought, the Royal Rumble. The Royal Rumble. Heavenly Father, we thank you, God, for all that you've done for us once again. And we thank you, God, for your multitudes of blessings you bestowed upon us. And we do pray, Father, for this time here in the service, Lord, that you'd help me, Lord, to present the sermon the way you'd have me to. It would be a help to your people and a light to the lost. Help me, Lord, to say exactly what it is that you'd have me to say, Lord, that you guide these little clay, that people would be able to see Jesus high and lifted up, but not me. And we not be wasting our time, but be honoring and glorifying your holy name. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen.
Amen.
So, we titled this the Royal Rumble because, quite frankly, everything that we've gone through from Esther chapter 1 down through chapter number 6 has been leading up to this chapter. And from here on, it's just going to go downhill, but in favor of the good guys, if you will. We've got this clash that Haman doesn't even realize is taking place. And it appears that it's between him and Queen Esther. And he's going to lose it. That's all there is to it. He doesn't even realize he's been in the fight for his life for the past 24 hours or so, and that he's been losing it nonstop. Every turn, he's thought he's had everything figured out. Things are just going to finally go his way. And suddenly he gets stocked on this side. He gets stocked on that side. And it's constantly going against him. And he can't figure out what in the world's going on. He's become a veritable punching bag. He started off the day before, and everything just seemed so fine. He got to go and be one of the only two invited to Queen Esther's banquet. Him and the king. Not the king and him, but him and the king. But then he came out, and there's Mordecai. And he hates Mordecai with a passion. He goes home, he tells his friends, his wife, about this, and they counsel him and say, "Hey, you know what you need to do? Just build you some gallows and execute that bum. You don't like him, get rid of him. And you go and you ask the king tomorrow to do this." And he says, "You know what, it's a good idea, but I'm going to prove it. I'm going to go tonight." So he goes that night, and it turns out that he just walked right into it. Just as if his enemy was just sitting there punching away at one of those punching bags, and he just walked into it, and he's getting one of these numbers. Because he's going in there, he's going to ask the king to hang Mordecai. Instead, the king says, "What shall I do to honor the man that I take pleasure in?" Whoa, well, hey, that's me, because, you know, I've been promoted up all along the way. And he says, "Well, this is what you're going to do, old king. I want you to do this and give him this from the royal treasury and this from the royal treasury and the king's personal steed and all this other stuff. Have one of your most noble princes do it." And he just picture him saying, "Yeah, the king's going to do all this for me."
All of a sudden, boom! King comes right across and he nails him. Do it for Mordecai the Jew. His pride took a blow that day. The next morning, it got pummeled even more. Boom, boom, boom. Whole bunch of combos, because now he had to actually do that for Mordecai the Jew. Put the royal crown on him. Put the royal robes on him. Put him on the royal horse. Lead him through the town square proclaiming this is what happens to the man whom the king delights to honor. It was supposed to be him up there on a horse, and instead it's him down there leading the horse. And he's just getting beat up. And he don't know what's going on. He goes home there and he tells his friends and his wife what happened. And he's trying to lick his wounds. You'd think he's there in his corner and he's going to get protection, but no. Instead, his friends and his wife start hammering on him too. If this Mordecai is from the people that you're opposing, guess what? You've already begun to fall. Begun to fall? Man, they might as well give him a good uppercut right there. You've begun to fall. Translation, you're going to fall. It's not a matter of that you might fall. You've begun to. You're going down, Buster. Things ain't looking good for him. But then at the end of chapter number 6, it's like the bell rang. Because the chamberlains came to go get him to come to that second banquet. Oh, things are good and good here. He can rest. He gets his confidence restored. He can get his mind cleared up here. And while he's at this banquet that only he and the king got invited to yet again. But that's not how God works when he's dealing with our enemies. He's going to sit there and he's going to give them that false sense of security from time to time to let them know who's really in charge and that it's not them. We see here in verse number 1 the participants in this royal rumble. We see that we've got Haman here. The man who's probably still trying to figure out how in the world Mordecai got over him and got to have that honor. How did he get passed by Mordecai the Jew? The guy who sits in the gate of the king's court there while Haman is prime minister. How did he get passed over? It boggles the mind. But then there's Esther, who's over in the other corner there. Little dainty Queen Esther. Remember, this is back before women's lives. Back when women were still just second-class citizens. Step above being slaves. How could she represent any sort of trouble? She's just the queen, a token. There's nothing to her. That's what he's thinking. You know what she's thinking? Haman's big bad. Haman's got all the confidence in the world. Haman's powerful. Haman's someone to be terrified about. And here she is. She's just a little old weak me. I can't do nothing. But remember, before she went that first time for the banquet, she fasted for 3 days. She was getting right with God for 3 days. And the Bible tells us over there in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 9, my grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength, God says, is made perfect in your weakness. And Esther, while she is weak, while she's thinking nothing of herself, while she probably doesn't even know anything about the honor that was just bestowed upon Mordecai there, something that would bolster her self-confidence, she probably doesn't know that. She's sitting down here. I can't do it. I can't do it. But God says, I can.
Amen.
And He's going to do it. His providential hand is working through Esther there. This is really a fight between God Almighty, who sits upon the very throne of heaven, and against Satan, who's represented here by Haman, who wants to take that throne, but he ain't going to.
Amen.
He ain't never has, and he ain't never going to. Amen. And we've got that enemy. But you know what, church? He was defeated there on the cross of Calvary.
Amen.
Jesus won the war that day. It's up to us to win the battles. They say battles don't take place after the war. We'll tell that to Andrew Jackson there in down in New Orleans. They fought that battle there a couple months after the War of 1812 was finished. Church, we can win our battles, but we got to trust the one who's actually doing the fight. In verses 2 through 4, we see the petition that's being made. Verse number 2 says, and the king said again unto Esther on the second day at the banquet of wine, what is your petition? And it shall be granted. What is your request? And shall be performed even to the half of the kingdom. May I just say what he did there was he bolstered her up. He built her up. And our Father in heaven will do the same thing for us. He will build us up so that we can rise to the challenge at hand there. You say, how did he do that? It's now the third time he's asked her that same question. The first time there in his very palace. And he could have easily been, well, you know what, I said it, but I didn't mean it. He asked her the second time there at that first banquet, what do you want? And he could have backed out of it then too. But this is now the third time, church. Third time. He can't possibly deny that he has given this statement. He can't back out of it now. Praise God, God ain't going to back out of it either. He said for us to cast our cares upon Him. He told us to come unto Him, all ye that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Amen. Praise the Lord. He's promised that He will do that for us. And by the King saying this here, He is promising us to, whatever it is, I will take care of it.
Amen.
Trust me. So what does she do? She says, hey, this is my request. My people, we ain't been sold as slaves. We got it worse. We've been sold to be executed. We've been sold to be sheep led for the slaughter. Just go ahead and line us up and cut our throats right here and now. And that includes me, O King. That ain't a good thing. And she says, help. That's what this is. It's a request for help. I'm your queen. Don't you love me? Don't you care about me? And when we start getting into a bad way, before we start getting out with a bad way, church, go to our Father in heaven and remind Him that we are His children. Remind Him that He has promised that He will take care of us, that He will supply our every need.
Amen.
Go and trust upon Him, because He is the one who says the governments, multiple, all of them will be upon one shoulder. It's promised there. That means He's got a whole other shoulder just for us, church. We can go and bring our petitions to Him. We can go as 1 Peter 5, 6 and 7 says, for us, exactly, let me read this exactly here. Get it right, because I'm starting to get my words stumbled. 1 Peter 5, 6 and 7, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. Casting all your care, all your anxiety, all your stress, all your worries upon Him, for He careth. He's concerned for you.
Amen.
Make those petitions unto the Lord. And that's where she's sitting back there, says, I can't do it. But I know the King can. You know, she's not directing her words at Haman. She's not saying, hey, Haman, you know, you did this to me. I'm the Queen. Come on, you know, let's think about it. No, she's going to the King. Go to the right authority, church. Don't go to some man. Don't go. Yeah. Let me clarify that real quick. We are supposed to talk to one another so that we can pray for one another. We take our prayer requests so that we can help lift the burden together. But that doesn't mean I go over to my pastor here and says, hey, pastor, you know, this is what's going on, and then I leave it alone at that. It ain't going to do much good. Just him praying. I'm supposed to be praying about it too. You know? So she's going to the King. She's making that request known. But you know what that did? It left the King perplexed. Verse number 5 says, then the King Ahasuerus answered and said unto Esther the Queen, who is he and where is he that does presume in his heart to do so? Now bless his heart, I just don't think he quite figured out yet what's going on. That he ain't quite put two and two together and realized that her people are the same people that Haman has gone to him before and wanted to have executed, to have killed out of the kingdom there. He ain't put together that she is of the same nationality as Mordecai the Jew. He ain't got it all together yet there. So it's left him, what's going on? Someone's threatening my wife? Thank God that nothing was ever going to perplex our Father in heaven. Nothing is ever going to catch Him by surprise. I've heard people say that you can lose your salvation. I said, I don't want to know which sin caught Him by surprise and was not covered there on the cross of Calvary. Name that sin, because they were all in the future when He died there on the cross, so He could take care of all of them there. And all the sins that passed before, they were all taken care of there on the cross of Calvary. Nothing perplexes Him. Nothing is a mystery to Him.
Amen.
Go to Him and let Him sort it out.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. We ain't got the perplexed King. We got a perpetual King who's going to get the job done every time.
Amen.
But notice it leads us from the perplexed King, because there's another fellow in the room. That's that opponent. That's the guy she's sparring with there. That's Haman in this royal rumble. In verse number 6, we see his panic. And Esther said, the adversary and enemy is this wicked Haman. Period. Then Haman was afraid. He was terrified before the King and the Queen. Haman put it together real quick. He got the message loud and clear. Uh-oh. I wanted all the Jews dead. I didn't know that included the Queen. I'm in trouble. I wanted Mordecai dead, and because I wanted Mordecai dead, I wanted them all dead. Uh-oh. The king loves his queen. We're not dealing with another Vashti here. Well, he'll just throw her away. He loves her. Church, it don't matter what sin it is that we commit, he still loves us.
Amen.
God's not going to throw us away and say, you know, I changed my mind about your salvation. Forget it. No, not going to happen. But the enemy's going to be panicked. The enemy's going to be panicked every time that God steps out there and he starts working on our behalf, because the enemy knows he's going to lose every single time. When we're up here trying to do it in our own strength, guess what? We're going to lose. But when we trust upon the Lord Jesus Christ and we lean upon Him, not into our own understanding, the Bible says we will be able to succeed. I'll tell you this. I'm not supposed to put any weight on that foot right there because it is still healing from being broken. And I could let go of this knee scooter right here and I could try balancing on this left foot. But you know what's going to happen? Eventually I'm going to fall, or I'm going to put weight on that right foot, and I'm not supposed to. I can't do it on my own. But I've got this piece of equipment here that's going to hold me up so long as I will trust upon it. But if I get out here on just that one leg, you know what's going to happen real quick? I'm going to start panicking. I'm going to start getting very concerned in a hurry. I'm going to be reaching out, trying to grab whatever's around me so that I can keep from falling, so that I can keep from hurting myself. But I'm going to be in trouble. And church, the enemy wants us to do just that. But if we will trust in the Lord instead of us being on the panic, we'll put Him on the panic there and we'll be able to get moving forward here. The king stepped out on Haman. Haman realized real quick, the king's not an avenue for me to get any help. I got to get me some help. I got to go and I got to do something here. What can I possibly do? Well, that leads him down here to his predicament. Verse number 8. Then the king returned out of the palace garden into the place of the banquet of wine, and Haman was fallen upon the bed whereon Esther was. You see, the tradition of the Persians, when they were going to beg for mercy from someone, they'd get down there and they'd grab the person's feet and they'd hold on to him, begging, please show mercy, please show mercy, don't do this to me, please. Well, the person was standing or they were laying down. But they didn't have tables like what we got here in this room. They didn't have chairs like we got in this room. They were eating on the floor. They were reclined on couches. So Esther, she's kind of laying down, if you will. And here's Haman. He's grabbing her feet. And he's begging for mercy. And his predicament got real bad because that's when the king walked in. Now the Bible says here that the king says, will he force the queen also before me in the house? That word force means to attack. Some scholars believe that what he was saying is, oh, is he going to rape my queen right here in front of me? Other scholars say he was getting ready to, in his Ahasuerus' mind, that Haman was getting ready to start his slaughter of the Jews right then and there by attacking the queen. He had a Jew right in front of him. It doesn't matter whatever the, how should we put this? Since the word's escaping me at the moment, circumstances, thank you, that the king... Hey, I need help, I admit it. Whatever the case is. That the king, he didn't like what he saw. He hadn't liked what he heard already. Now he hears it, now he sees this. He's going to do something about it. And Haman realizes he's got a predicament on his hands. He cannot possibly escape. The king loves his queen, and here it gives all the wrong impressions as to what's going on. It does not look good. And our enemy will try to make things not look good for us at all. Our enemy will try to twist things around because our enemy knows his time is short. Our enemy knows that one day Jesus is going to come and he's going to split the eastern sky, and all those who are saved are going to be called out of here. We're going to be raptured away. He knows that he's only got 7 years after that, and then he's going to be thrown in the bottomless pit. He knows after 1,000 years he's going to get to be released for a short time. But praise God, he knows that there's something else going to happen to him after that. So what's that, preacher? Well, it's the past judgment. The last part of verse 8 says, as the word went out of the king's mouth, they covered Haman's face. That was a symbolism for saying this boy has been set for execution. That there is no way in the world he's going to even bother facing a judge. It's already been determined what's going to happen to him. Church, the Bible tells us over in Revelation chapter number 20, verse 10. It says these words here. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire. This is after the 1,000-year reign. After he's been released for a short time, Jesus wins that final victory. He'd be cast into the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. What a predicament. A past judgment that's going to be happening to our enemy, to the one who hates our souls, to the one who hates God, who does everything he can to attack God, to attack him through us. And the devil's going to lose one day, church. We've got the victory waiting on us.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Just trust in him because he's going to take care of it. You see Esther here? Says here in verse number 4, I had held my tongue, although the enemy could not countervail the king's damage. And he says, who did this? Verse number 6, the adversary and enemy is this wicked Haman. That's it. That's the last time she speaks in the chapter, church. The rest of it's dealing with Haman and the king. Our enemy and the king. Our enemy and God the Father. She doesn't even call out for help down here when he grabs her feet. The guards don't bother coming to her aid until the king steps back into the room, church. But she still got the victory. Why? Because she let the real one, the one who is really fighting this royal rumble, have his will. And go in there and start giving him all those punches. But that final uppercut comes here in verse number 9. When Harbona said, behold, also the gallows with 50 cubits high, which Haman had made for Mordecai, who had spoken good for the king. Hey, by the way, king, remember this is the same one who saved your life earlier. Stands in his house of Haman. Then the king says, hang him there on. Nice little uppercut. Right to that glass jaw of Haman's. Down he goes. Down goes Frazier, as pastor would say. Our enemy's going to lose one day, church. The question is this. Are we trusting in Jesus Christ? Are we trusting Him to fight our fights for us? Or are we trying to fight them ourselves? Because if we are, we're never going to win. It will not be possible. So I would implore you today. Are you tired of losing? If so, trust Him. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for all that You've done for us. And we pray, Lord, that everyone here was able to get some little something out of the sermon today. And we do thank You, Father, that You've given us the supreme champion, the one who's never going to lose, the one who even when it looked like he couldn't possibly win, he still came through and won the victory for us. Thank You, Lord, for Your Son, Jesus Christ, dying upon the cross of Calvary there, dying to destroy Satan and his plans there for us. We thank You, God, that one day, no matter how rough it is, we've got it down here in this life, we got something better waiting for us there in heaven. Father, we're sure looking forward to that. We love You, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen.